9:55, 9 to noon, home for Vikings football, FM 100.3, The Fan, from the exclusive Vikings Radio Network perch in Mankato. Vikings practice tonight shortly after 7 o'clock. Norv Turner is running the practice this evening. Ben Lieber, Paul Allen, and Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, the general manager, for a final segment. Is it possible to look at this preseason game against Pittsburgh, a team that plays a 3-4 defense? And I think you guys see maybe 9 3-4 defenses during this season. Is it good to get one now and during the preseason?
It's great because we can simulate a 3-4 defense in practice, but to actually play it in a game. Now, our starters aren't going to see a lot of it, but a lot of those guys have already played against 34-type teams. But to have our young guys go ahead and play against a 3-4, because we've been playing against our defense the whole time. So, you know, today at the walkthrough and a little bit tomorrow at practice, they'll start carding up a little bit to get those guys familiarized with what a 34 is and some of the things. And I know most teams, especially this first game, are going to just play a lot of base packages. They're not going to show a lot. One, they don't want to show a lot what they're going to do during the season. And there may be some blitzes here or there. But it's a great opportunity for our young guys to see a different defense.
You know, I would say that the nice thing about having Mike Zimmer and his philosophy is that he does implement quite a few 3-4 different looks of what 3-4 teams do in sub-packages. They're going to move a lot of guys around. Safeties are going to rock and roll and come up and down. So you kind of get, I guess you get a little bit of a look in practice. Maybe not a true 3-4, but you get some variation of it.
Yeah, and but Pittsburgh is a whole different system. And
right.
So I know it really helps us to even these young guys when they're playing in the preseason and playing against the 34 team, just to have that on tape. So when we start watching teams that are 3-4s, just from a learning standpoint and some of the things that Pittsburgh may show us on Sunday night. Now, there's, I think most teams, there's not a lot of game planning going on in this first preseason game. So basically we want to go out and see these guys play fast, not have to think too much, and keep it to the basics and just see if they can go out and execute our base packages.
You have two long snappers here, Kevin McDermott and Cullen Leffler. In preseason games, there tends to be a lot of punting. So I mean, it really is perfect during these games to figure out which long snapper you want to keep, right?
Yeah, we'll have an opportunity to see both of them snap. It's been great competition. I know Cullen's done an outstanding job for us since he's been here. Had a little bit of an off year last year, but we did sign him back. But we also told him that there was going to be some competition. McDermott, I know, snapped in Baltimore last year. So those guys both are very, very quality snappers. And that'll be a pretty good battle in itself that a lot of people haven't talked about.
Sticking on those two guys, are you looking for athleticism along with snap times, the snap accuracy, how the laces can just set on the outside? Does it matter on punt team that they can go down there and be a factor?
It does. I think the biggest part besides the velocity and accuracy of the snap is the protection part. Can they identify the protection? Can they slide their feet? Because you can have a guy that can sit there and snap all day, like on a playground, shoot three-point shots, but all of a sudden, you know, you got guys crossing his face, and does he have the mental ability and the physical ability to slide his feet to recognize that and to pass block?
What's better about Teddy Bridgewater now compared to this time last year?
He knows a lot more. Yes. He's just more comfortable, I think, in the offensive scheme, more comfortable in the skin, more comfortable as a leader of this football team. Just night and day from where we were last year at this time. And it was great to see his progress, especially through those last six games. You see Norv and Scott Turner understanding what he does best and some of his weaknesses, and trying to emphasize what we're going to do on offense to fit his strengths.
And how does Sean Hill, his backup, complement him?
Sean's been outstanding. He's had a great camp so far. And
he loves it here.
Yeah, he understands Norv's system. You know, it's amazing because when he's out there, he sees and reads the defense so quickly, sometimes almost too quickly, and the ball is out of his hands. It's, you know, hitch, throw. And he can go through his progressions, and that's great for Teddy to see. And when Teddy sees that and sees how you got a veteran like Sean Hill here and how quickly he can read things and knows where to go with the ball, it's a great example as Teddy learns.
With Teddy, are you okay with just his demeanor overall, or would you still like to see some more vocality out of him as far as a leader goes?
I think there's different types of leadership. You don't have to be a vocal guy to be a leader. And I think I mentioned this before. One of the things that really stuck out was last year, no matter what was happening during the games, when he got in that huddle, I think, one, the guys on the sideline, the guys in the huddle believe in Teddy Bridgewater, that he's going to make plays to help us win ball games. The other thing that you can't measure, and just talking to some of the veterans on the team, is whether it's a high or if it's a low or you're hitting adversity in a game, when Teddy walks into that huddle, he's as calm as he's ever been. Nothing ever rattles him, and it settles everybody else down. Now, Teddy's personality has come out a lot more, you know, in the locker room. He feels a lot more comfortable around the guys. He jokes around with the guys. You can see who Teddy is. But when he's out on the field, that calmness is a positive. It's not a negative. And I think that helps everybody stay level-headed as you go through the adversities of a game.
Is it fair to say through eight practices, the first defensive line has, I don't want to say had its way with the first offensive line, but if you had to say one unit has won the majority of the battles, it would be the first defensive line.
I think, you know, the one thing that we miss, you know, during the OTAs and during the mini camp is our offensive linemen can't do one-on-one pass rush. They can't work on their technique and pass protection in one-on-one drill. So I know we've been working extremely hard on that here. And first day, it's like the defensive line, well, they know it's a pass rush already, so they don't have to honor the run. But it's great for our offensive linemen, and they got exposed. And but also, it was great teaching tape when they got down there. Hey, you know, get your inside weight on the inside of your heels. Okay, you're overextending here. But as you see, the practices, even yesterday, when we watched the one-on-ones yesterday, the progress that offensive line has made, it's just like the, you know, when you watch one-on-one receivers versus DBs, well, that's more of an offensive drill, in my opinion. But you see our DBs getting better at that as well. So it looks like they're getting exposed, especially in the one-on-one drills, but you know, when you see progress and you see these guys getting better, and I think we do have a pretty good defensive line, too.
Yeah, that's what makes it tough for people like me to evaluate is Linval Joseph. I don't want to say he looks like he's twice the guy he was last year, but, I mean, there have been times, seriously, he looks unblockable. Everson Griffin looks as fast as ever. You look to be five defensive tackles deep maybe when you go to 53, and it makes it tough to evaluate how far along the offensive line is when this defensive line's playing so fast and so tough.
You see that in a one-on-one, but then when you see it live or when we're going in team settings, okay, now all of a sudden, and I'm not taking – I mean, those guys have had great camps, and Sharif Floyd, throw him in the mix there too because he's had an outstanding camp. And I think we have a very talented defensive line group. But all of a sudden, when you're in 11-on-11 and they just can't come humming like they do in one-on-one situations because they have to honor the run. You know, they have to honor that play action. So all of a sudden there's a play action that slows them down a little bit.
Right.
There's some things like when we get into the games and stuff like that, as far as the protections and how the running backs or tight ends are going to chip on the way out into the route. So, that offensive line is building. You know, we put Fusco to the left side. We got Mike Harrison there to the right side. Loadholt didn't play. So there's a lot of guys playing right next to each other for the first time. And the key to the offensive line, in my opinion, is those guys, five guys playing as one unit and understanding what each one does. And I think that chemistry is coming along.
And second-year guy David Yankee's playing some left tackle. When he matched up against Danielle Hunter a couple of times yesterday, he held up pretty well.
Yeah, you know, David's had a great camp, and there's another rookie that's taking the next step in his second year. And starting him out inside a guard, he's played left tackle. They've put him over to right tackle. So he's showing us a lot of versatility, and that's one thing when you're looking, especially for backup offensive linemen, you only have seven active on game day. So you have your five starters, and you usually have two after that. Those two behind there have to be able to play multiple positions. And that's what we're – a lot of these young guys that we – even the guys that we drafted, the Shepherds, the T.J. Clemmings, the Thompson. Yeah, all those guys, we've moved them around a lot. And – sometimes when you have a rookie, there is a fine line between, okay, do you just keep him in one spot and let him master that spot, or do you try moving him around? And sometimes that can take away from his progress, and he may regress a little bit until he gets comfortable, but you're going to know eventually that he's going to be able to do multiple positions.
Where is Matt Khalil's mindset from last year to this year? Have you noticed the way he can bounce back from a bad play and not, you know, not let it affect him on the next play or the next day? Has that gotten better?
Hey, Norv, did you get your whistle?
Norv, if you're running practice, you need a whistle. This is a big spot today, Norv. Hopefully you're up to it.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Matt Khalil's mindset. You feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, no, I think he's he feels 1,000 times better from a physical standpoint. And him and Everson have been having some pretty good battles. And I think going against a defensive end with the talent that Everson Griffin has, the quickness, the speed, and Everson has been on fire this camp, that's just making Matt Khalil that much better.
And with Matt, I don't know if a lot of people recognize this, but he's here. He's out on the field 30 minutes before everybody else, every single practice with offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. When they're out there, what are they working on?
They're working on technique. You know, a lot of the stuff or a lot of the things that you see that during practice he'll come out and correct. You know, just minor things on keeping your shoulder square as you're setting in pass pro instead of, like, opening your hip. And just things that we're seeing on tape. Matt's been working before and after practice, and I know he feels better physically and is really trying to work to get back to where he was.
Vikings GM Rick Spielman on the 9 to Noon show.
How's Mike Harris been at right guard?
First time Mike's played inside. He did play inside last year when we had Sully go down, and I think we lost Fusco, I think, that game.
First time ever for Harris inside?
Well, he played inside that game.
Yeah.
But he's always been a tackle. He was a tackle at UCLA when he came out. He played tackle at San Diego, played tackle, swing tackle for us last year. So we put him inside at guard, and he's really made a nice adjustment. So a little different, because when a tackle goes inside to the guard position, things happen a lot quicker. You have a guy right on top of your head. You know, when you're an offensive tackle and you're pass pro and you got an opportunity to take one or two steps to see what that defensive end's going to do. But when you have guys breathing down your neck at the snap of the ball, that center position, that offensive guard position, they're on top of you quick. And I think he's made the adjustment very nicely, and we're anxious to see how far he can come along.
What are you liking most about rookie wide receiver Stephon Diggs?
He's had a great camp, of, you know, just reading the report. I mean, he may be the Mr. Mankato every year. Those guys like to pick out maybe a one guy that no one knows about or a rookie that's had an outstanding camp.
Yeah.
And you've seen it Saturday night. He has the speed. He's very athletic. You know, he's very smart. And, you know, he didn't have the production he probably wanted at Maryland. I know he had some nicks and injuries, had some durability concerns, and I know – they had some quarterback issues there, but we were very excited about where his progress is. And, you know, that's going to be a battle there. You know, we feel we have six very good receivers. You know, he's going to work with Marcus Sherrills. We're going to see if he has any return ability. And that'll be, you know, I was talking to Coach Zim the other day, is when we get down to the 53, but what's even tougher is who's going to be your active on game day for your 46. And especially, knock on wood, we can stay this way all year when you're healthy. So there's going to be that's also the competition I think people will talk about. They talk about, okay, you know, I'm fighting to make the 53. But these guys that are going to make our team, they're fighting to see, are they going to be able to play on Sunday or not? Yeah. Are they going to be up, or are they going to be inactive?
Jarius Wright had his best season as a pro last year. With what Diggs is doing and all of the, quote, steam, end quote, behind him, is it pushing Jarius to even be better?
I think all those receivers are pushing each other. I think Mike Wallace, I think you see Cordero Patterson's a different player, and he's had his best camp since he's been here. And when you're able to create competition at a position and they go out and see, whoa, this guy's making plays, I need to go out there and do it, it's pushing everybody. And all those – and Adam Thielen yesterday in practice made a lot of great catches. And he's one of our top special teams players. So those guys are all pushing each other. And when you sit there and watch the film and you see these guys running routes, and Norv is very big on the vertical passing game, and to see Mike Wallace, to see Jarius Reich, to see Charles Johnson, to see Cordarrelle Patterson, to see all, you know, Stephon Diggs, even Adam Thielen's getting, you know, deep down the field. These guys can run, and we're very excited at least about the speed that we were able to add to this offense.
Last two for the GM. Go ahead.
Well, just a kind of a one little side comment about Stephon Diggs is he had a great practice on Saturday night, and the thing I loved hearing from him, and you probably already know this, but, you know, they're at the reporters asked him about his practice and just his development, and he's basically very humbly like, I'm not there yet.
Right.
And I, you know, I know I've got a lot of work to do. I left a lot of plays still in the field, and you guys may think I had a good practice, but he's still hungry, you know, understands that the big picture is way bigger than just this one night.
The thing that makes good players great is that hunger, because they're never satisfied. And I tell my kids that all the time. I said, there's always going to be someone breathing down your neck. No one's ever going to be perfect, and you always got to strive and make yourself better every day. And when you get young guys, and some guys come in think that they have arrived already, that's when they get passed by. Other guys come in and have that internal drive. Not only are they tremendous athletes, but have that internal drive to be the best. And they go out there every day, and they're never satisfied with their performance. Those are the guys that end up excelling and being great football players.
Charles Johnson seems to be one of those guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think Charles, you know, it was amazing last year to get him in September off a practice squad and for him to learn the offense and to be a big part of this offense and to have him for a whole off season. And he's another young guy. I think this is only his third year in the league. And his comfort level in this offense and his chemistry that he's built with Teddy as well has had a great camp.
Last one. One of the great stories from the 7-9 last year was the leap Xavier Rhodes took. From last year, specifically the final 4-6 games and who he became to who he is now, has he taken another leap?
I think he has. He's very comfortable. I think the biggest thing you see last year when you broke him down, and it's all these corners and maybe the toughest position to adjust to the NFL, is they get away with a lot of grabbing at the collegiate level where, you know, after that 5-yard bump area, you got to have your hands off those receivers. And it takes those guys, because it's such a security blanket, to put your hand out there to feel where they get. Well, they're going to throw the flag in this league. And Xavier got a lot more comfortable with the technique Zim was coaching, got a lot more comfortable with the scheme. And when players can play fast and not have to think we're not in the field, that's when they play their best, and I think Xavier's at that point right now.
Rick, thanks for the conversation. Best of luck today.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
I appreciate it.
Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, from the exclusive Vikings Radio Network perch on your home for Vikings football, The Fan. Paul Allen and Ben Lieber to the field for the exclusive drive-bys next.